Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message. All right. So again, thank you so much for joining us today, Blaze Church Online. We've got a couple people in the room that want to say good morning. Come on, team. Let's celebrate. We are glad that you are here today. And again, if you are new to Blaze, make sure you head over to blazechurch.org/connect so that we can get you a gift in the mail this week. Or even easier, show up at 11:30 and get yourself a t-shirt today. So we're super excited about that. But hey, we're in this series, Rebuild My Life. And I want to say a phrase that maybe you've said before or you've heard before, and it's this phrase, we've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. Don't mess with it. Come on, we've always done it this way. And just think, I was thinking about this phrase, and I was thinking in my life, what are the things that I've thrown that phrase out before? What are the things that I've been, no, don't mess with that, listen. We've always done it this way. We don't need your change. We don't need your fancy new systems. We don't need, what is that, a turducken? What is that thing people try to do at Thanksgiving? Just eat turkey, people. We don't need tofu and all this other stuff. You've probably got your own family traditions that if I were to show up with my family traditions, you'd, hold on, man, we've always done it this way, right? We've got artificial tree people, and then we've got those going to heaven, real tree people that go to the farm and get a tree. We've got open gifts on Christmas Eve, open them on Christmas Day. You've got things that you've always done this way. You've got things at work. Anyone here, you ever experienced that maybe there's a boss change or there's a new employee that comes and the systems that you've been used to that have worked, suddenly there's this fresh vision or ideas. And doesn't it hurt sometimes when change comes? You're like, no, wait, we've always done it this way. This is when payroll happens. This is when the emails go out. This is what we've always done. We've done it this way at work. You know, I was thinking about my regular life, and I don't know if this is TMI, but I'm going to say it anyway because I have the microphone right now. I shower the same way, right? I do my hair first, and then I do my body. And there's just this system, right? That you probably wake up, and you brush your teeth, or you say, no, I want coffee first, then I brush. You've got a system and a rhythm even to your day, the way you respond, you've got a, we've always done it this way. This is how I act. And what I want to do today is I want to kind of challenge what you've always been doing. I want to challenge you and make you realize that there are probably some things in your life that you've always done this way, but as we are on this series about rebuilding our lives, and we are weeks into this thing now, we're somewhat at the halfway mark. Okay, so we're on day 35 here, and July 8th is day 52. So we crossed over the halfway this week. And what I realized as I was thinking about this is it is so easy for this messaging to just become numb and white noise, right? Here we are. We're on an eight-week series. That's so long. Rebuild my life. And I want to just kind of dial in and remind you that you can have the best plans, the best vision, the brokenness, the burden, all of it, but there still could be some things that you've always done, and all you're going to do is you're going to take fresh ideas and you're going to funnel them through what you've always done. And I want to call those things patterns today. A pattern is simply repeated behavior. It's something that just repeats itself over and over. Again, you have a system at work, a system for holidays, a system for relationships, a system for your finances. There's a pattern at work. It's repeated. It's an example you follow. And I want to challenge you to think this morning, what if the pattern that you are applying and you are living out isn't best? Take a deep breath with me, even at home. Just breathe it out, because we're gonna mess with some things that we don't like to mess with. We don't like to change our patterns. But I want to show you a proverb that stands out to me that is, it's gut-hitting. It's hard. It's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a path before each person that, say these next two words with me, seems right. Online family, comment that right now. Seems right. There's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. I figured, Joe, why wait 10 minutes in to start offending people? Let's do it 2 minutes in. So we're just getting right into scripture. And this is just the word of God. So think about it. There's a path that seems right. This seems normal. This seems like what everyone's doing. We've always done it this way. So I'm going to continue to do it But in the end, it leads to death. And as your pastor, as your friend, if there was a way where I could prevent and I could just stand in the middle of that path this morning as a trailblazer and say, don't take that road, get on this road, that's what I want to do over these next few moments together. I want you to realize that the path you're on, although you've always done it, it could lead to death. So what are some paths? Well, here's one that we see in culture. Here's one that we see on Netflix originals and maybe in your own life or in your friends' lives. A path that says, well, I'm just going to sleep around until I find that one, and then maybe I'll commit. It's a normal path. It's a normal path that seems right. But if you've ever seen someone walk that path, maybe you've seen the destruction that happens. I don't know why, but the show always ends before the fights begin. It always just kind of, and they lived happily ever after. Give me a sequel to that story. Give me something that shows the heartache that gets attached there. Maybe what seems right, well, I'm just going to purchase what I want, credit cards, and thank the Lord for minimum payment. I love that little box on the statement. You mean I bought all of that and I only have to give you $18 this month? This is awesome. Yeah, it seems right, but it ends in death. It ends in financial ruin. There's all of these paths that we have. Right, we live in a cancel culture. That's basically the way that I respond if I don't agree with you and I don't like you and you hurt me, well, I'll just cancel you. I'll block you. I'll unfriend you. I'll cut you out of my life. And it seems right. I mean, now I removed the problem. No, you didn't. You buried the problem through blocking. You didn't deal with it in here. It seems right, but now you've got bitterness and you've got anger and you've got resentment and you've got a relationship that needs work. It seems right to use my time on me. It seems right that this is my life and my schedule, and I only get 7 days in a week, and I can't really stop and pause for this. Seems right. It seems right to just kind of use all of my finances on me and live inward bound. It seems right. Do you see how many paths seem right? These are paths that we can easily walk. And so what I want to do today is I want to introduce this message title. It's Change the Pattern. What if we change the pattern, change the repeated example, the repeated behavior, the pattern of our lives, because you have one. And I want you to realize and discover through the story of Nehemiah, where we are, that there is a way for you to change the pattern, for you to rebuild your life, so that when those moments come up, when a relationship enters your world, or when a purchase kind of just, those advertisements, I mean, the phones are always listening. And Alexa, even more so. And I'm talking to Amy about something, next thing I know, how do all my ads know that I needed this? This is wild. Right? It seems right. But what if today we proactively said, I'm going to rebuild some patterns in my life so that I might not end in destruction, but might end in death? It seems right to just live casual, convenient, complacent Christianity, doesn't it? I mean, I said the prayer however many years ago. I come to church when I can. It seems right. It seems good. God has something bigger for you. God has something more for you than to settle and just follow a religious pattern. And we're going to tear down religion today. Doesn't it seem right? Our country's always treated black people this way. Seems right. We can't change this. This is too big. Why bother? It just seems like the narrative. Well, what if today we start raising our voices about justice? What if today we start speaking out and start standing up and saying, I don't care if it seems right to you, to my God who loves every single person, who created people in his image, this is not right. And this path leads to death and destruction. And I want you to see that Nehemiah has that same cry. That's what I love about God's timing. A message that was planned months ago, and I want you to see that Nehemiah starts crying out for the justice of his people because the pattern that they had was not right. Didn't care if it seemed that way. So let me catch you up quickly. Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king, Artaxerxes of Persia. This is a time where the Jewish people were in Babylonian exile. They were taken from their homeland and indoctrinated with a brand new culture from Babylon. For over 70 years, they lived and breathed Babylon. But then finally, new kings rose up, and Persia took over and defeated Babylon, and God stirred the hearts of Cyrus and Artaxerxes and these other kings to send the Jewish people back home, kind of like we're experiencing now. We're just kind of coming back home, coming back to property and saying, man, it's been so long since we've worshiped God together corporately. And so they go back to Jerusalem, and they start rebuilding, and Ezra goes first, and Zerubbabel goes, and all these men and women, and they go and rebuild. And then Nehemiah hears The walls are broken, the gates are burned up. So you can build all you want, but if you don't have protection, nothing is going to last here. And so Nehemiah, as cupbearer to the king of Artaxerxes, his heart breaks. He asks for time off. He asks for lumber. He asks for safe travel. He goes. They start rebuilding. We saw last week that when the work goes up, opposition shows up. And so Sanballat and Tobiah are now insulting them and taunting them and trying to stop the work, but the work continues on. And where we pick up the story now is a moment where the wall is nearly finished, and Nehemiah has moved from cupbearer to visionary carpenter to now governor of the people of Jerusalem. And he's trying to establish some systems here. He's trying to change the pattern here. And I want you to see what he's up against, because it is a crisis. And he has a choice to make. Will he follow the pattern that's been set before him by Babylon and by other Jewish leaders, or will he change the pattern? So Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their fellow Jews." I want to pause there. I want to highlight those last two words for you. You're seeing them on the screen. Fellow Jews. The Jewish people, men and women, husbands and wives, that's just a way for them to say in ancient text, everybody, they raised an outcry against their fellow Jews. They told people, there is an issue with our Jewish brothers and sisters. What was the issue? Well, the issue was that these Jewish people had worked so hard and so long on rebuilding the walls that they were now facing economic ruin. They were starting to face financial hardship. See, their vineyards weren't tended to. Their farms weren't taken care of. They didn't really have enough food and resources to go on. And the Jewish leaders, get this, they saw the brokenness of these people and they exploited their situation. They said, don't worry about it. Just mortgage your fields out to us and then you can buy them back when you need to. But we have for you a very healthy interest rate. And they said, well, we can't even do that. And they took it a step further and said, okay, that's fine. Give us your sons and your daughters as indentured servants, slaves. They'll work for us, and then we'll pay you with produce. And then when you can buy your sons and daughters back, then we'll be even. It's taking place in Jerusalem. After the people have come together to rebuild, to start something new, now there's all of this injustice where people are being treated as less than. Where the Jewish leaders, don't miss those words, it was the fellow Jews, it was other humanity that was looking at people and saying, you don't matter that much, you need food right now, so we'll treat you as slaves and give you food, and then you can live. Do you see how timely this is? And Nehemiah is looking out and he's saying, this is an injustice. Why are the people of power abusing their power and hurting people instead of helping people as they're facing this economic ruin? This is what happens when money enters the picture. This is what happens when our hearts get attached to stuff. The Jewish leaders were more concerned with their own wealth, where what they could build, than with building up people. Sidebar, this is what happens if you decide to do a family game night and bust out Monopoly. Every time, okay? That should not be on Hasbro's, oh, it's family fun. Because someone's going to land on Boardwalk or Park or whatever it is, and they're going to exploit you when you come around the corner. And then you're going to lose your siblings for a couple weeks. But here it is that Nehemiah is seeing this and saying, why are you letting greed blind you from love? Why are you letting your power and your position and your authority stop you from serving people? Leaders don't flaunt, leaders serve. So Nehemiah's heart is broken over this. And we read in verse 6 that he speaks up. And you got to see this, the way he cries out. Because what Nehemiah recognizes is that the Jewish leaders had been living under Babylonian exile for all these decades. Do you know what pattern they brought back with them to Jerusalem? Babylon's. They lived there. They saw how they were treated by Babylon, a pagan empire without respect for God and his authority. And they forgot all about loving the foreigner among you and caring for others and watching out for the poor and the widow and the orphan and those impoverished. All that God set up, they forgot about it. And they just brought back with them this pattern. And Nehemiah is looking at them and he is angry. He is heated. He is upset. Look at his words in verse 6. When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, you are charging your own people interest? He's just so caught off guard that this is taking place right now. But we're supposed to be coming together and you're charging people interest who are working to rebuild the wall of our city? So I called together a large meeting to deal with them. He's a savage. Watch, look at his tone right now. He's like, we're going to put you in place. Team meeting. And said, as far as possible, we've brought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. And now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us. Translation, he's saying, guys, we just got out of being slaves. And now you're going to come here and start something new? And you're going to start enslaving people? Can I preach history right now? I'm just going to give you facts for a second. Because I don't know, this seems like this happened 400 years ago. We left a country because we were enslaved and said we want freedom. And then came here and found some people who are a different skin color than us and said, now we're going to enslave you. This is wild. This is why racism is sin. And that's why it is at the root cause. Sin is at the root of people's hearts, if not changed by the gospel. Because here, the people of Israel experience the very thing. They get back to their homeland and say, okay, we'll just repeat the pattern. Just do it like it's always been done. Let's get us some people to enslave. And Nehemiah's like, are you kidding me? And I love the response. You see it there on the screen? They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. Go ahead, argue this, Nehemiah's saying. You guys remember, we were just slaves in Babylon for all these years. We come here and you want to start enslaving people again? Verse 9, so I continued, what you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk? Now, don't miss this. This is the point. You want to know how to change the pattern in your life? You want to know how to change things that you don't repeat the relationship pattern you saw growing up in your home or what you take in from media or how you use your finances or how you respond when people don't agree with you? Here's how you change it. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? What is he saying there? He's saying, shouldn't you fear God more than you fear him right now? That if you actually had reverence for God, your actions and reactions would not be this way. He's saying, you are a stain. That's what that word reproach is. You are a stink and a stain to our enemies who are Gentile. They are not Jewish. They are people who are not Jewish. They're looking at us thinking, oh, well, those Jewish people, they honor God. They have the Torah. They have the law. Of course, they're going to act different. And Nehemiah's like, you're doing what people who don't fear God are doing. Where is the difference? Where is the difference when you honor God that you treat another person as an image bearer of God? Nehemiah is challenging them. He's saying, we've got to change the pattern. This might be how it was done, but this is not how it will be done going forward. And you can read Nehemiah goes on and he reforms things. They have to give back those people that they took as slaves. They have to give back the fields without any interest. Just give them their fields back. We're not going to act this way. And I love it because I'm telling you, this gives me hope for what's happening right now in our country. I don't care if it's been hundreds of years and you might say it can never change. I'm seeing a generation of people rise up that are saying we're going to speak out and we are going to be a part of the change. We are going to see God begin to move on our hearts, and the church is not going to stay silent anymore. The church is going to speak up and speak out and say, it is not right for you to treat another person less than because of the color of their skin. Racism is wrong. If you wonder what Blaze Church stance is, Black Lives Matter, and racism is sin. And we're not going to just contribute to the violence by staying silent. And Nehemiah sees this. He says, we've got to do something about this. And the pattern changes. And I look at Nehemiah and say, how were you able to institute such change? Because, man, I want to do that today. And what you've got to see is that if you want to lead other people, leading starts here. You've got to lead yourself first if you want to lead other people. Look at what Nehemiah says. He has his moment. He has a moment where he can follow the pattern of governors before him, or he can create change. And we go on to verse 14. He says, moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be governor of the land of Judah, until his 32nd year. And just in case math is hard for you, I love it. The Bible says 12 years. Thank you for that, inspired author. Neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. Now, let me tell you what's going on here. The governors had their own rations that they could get from the people. They could tax the people and bring in food from them. They could take their food and their wine They could put a tax on them and get resources. But Nehemiah says, for 12 years while I was governor, I didn't take the food that was coming to me. It was allotted to me. That was the pattern. That's how I could have acted. I didn't do it. Why not? He says in verse 15, but the earlier governors, those preceding me, they placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people. Don't miss this. But out of reverence for, what's that word there? God. Out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. You want to know what motivated Nehemiah to be a trailblazer, to be someone who would change the pattern? You want to know what's going to motivate you to change the pattern in your life? In whatever arena where you are recognizing, I'm praying right now that the Holy Spirit is starting to bring to the surface some patterns that you are following. Maybe it is the pattern of racism. You say, I'm not a racist. I want you to think about your family history. I want you to think about what language was used in your home. What's the pattern that's there? Maybe it relates to relationships, your finances, or how you navigate your walk with God, that you have a set pattern. But God wants to disrupt that pattern and say, no, it's not enough for you to just show up on a Sunday or just read when you can or pray when you need me. No, he wants to change the pattern in your life. What's going to do that? It's this, reverence for God. It is when you and I start to recognize we serve and honor a holy God. That term, fear of the Lord, reverence for God, it's a recognition that he is almighty creator of the universe that could blink and things could disappear. Sorry, Thanos, you're not that strong. You needed rings to do this. Our God can do whatever he wants. And yet what he wants is to show us his grace, to call us his children, so that we might love one another and love him and honor him. And this isn't just a Nehemiah thing. This isn't just a back then thing. I want you to see the words of Paul. I want to jump to Romans chapter 12. And Paul has something to say about how we can change the pattern in our lives, about how we can not do what we've always done, not just follow suit. See, Paul was a man of God. Paul was someone who was changed by God. And it says in Romans chapter 12, before I read the whole verse, I want to give you just one word. And it's this word, Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, you guys remember that show, what was it called? Schoolhouse Rock, right? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? All right, so let me bring a little bit to light here for those who maybe you struggle with English and grammar. We love you, we forgive you, but I'm going to help you out, okay? Because I'm right there with you. I don't know the difference between all the theirs and the heres and all that stuff. But therefore is a conjunction word. Therefore is a word that is joining two thoughts. And what I want you to realize, what Paul is about to do in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, is he's going to say, therefore, and he's going to go on. Well, what's therefore? In what we call Romans chapters 1 through 11, right? Because just a little side note, when Paul wrote, he didn't write verse numbers and chapters. Those came later. In fact, those came within the past 600 years just to help us. So I'm not like, open up the middle of your Bible and turn a couple pages in. So the numbers and the chapters we don't believe are inspired by God. That's just a way to help us navigate scripture. But Paul wrote his letter, and when he's writing what we call chapters 1 through 11, he is setting a gospel foundation. It is beautiful. For 11 chapters, he goes on and he defines sin and how all of us fall short of God's glorious standards, Romans 3:23. All fall short of the standards of God. In Romans 6, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of eternal life through Christ is salvation. In Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And for 11 chapters, he goes on and on explaining sanctification, being like Christ, justification, being called righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus. He's building theology. He's building doctrine. But I want you to see, he's going to therefore. He's going to say, you can have all of the head knowledge. You can know everything I just wrote. You can have a basis of theology, but if it doesn't become practice, therefore means in light of giving your life to Jesus in response of him giving his life up for you, here's how you should live. Here's how you should change the pattern. Here's how you, as a Christ follower, I'm talking to you today, if you are saved by Jesus, listen to these next two statements. Because this, if you want to know how do I live as a Christian in these times, how do I treat someone, how do I honor God, what am I called to do, what's my purpose, Well, if you're a Christian, it is outlined right here. Here's your calling. Here's your role. Therefore, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern, there's our word, of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Can we just say this? Amen. Come on, amen. Let it be. Amen. This is our therefore. This is our calling. This is our purpose. This is our role. If you are in Jesus, let me break down what we just read and give you four words. So if you're taking notes, here's the time to write these down. You want to know four ways in how you change the pattern in your life, how you don't follow culture, how you don't just do the status quo, how you don't walk a path that seems right, but it ends in death. The first thing is presentation. You present your life as a living sacrifice to God. Try this week. What if every morning you woke up and the first thing you said to God in prayer wasn't give me, but I give you. Lord, I give you my life today. I present my life as a living sacrifice. I love that it's a living sacrifice, bro. He doesn't call us to get up on a cross and die for our sins, because you know who did that? Jesus. Jesus was a sacrifice who laid down his life for us so that you and I might be living sacrifices. Every day we present ourselves as holy before God. Presentation. The second thing is this, separation. Separation from the pattern of the world. Separation from the way things have always been. We've always done it this way. This is just how we are. We can't see change. No, I want to separate from that negativity. I want to separate from those patterns. I'm raising a man of God and a daughter of God right now. My little Nate and my Cece. And I don't want them to follow the patterns of this world for their relationships, for how they navigate sex, for how they navigate their finances. We have a rule in our house that if you hear a word that you don't know, you don't ask Alexa. Jesus, don't ask her. Good Lord, we tell them, don't ask Alexa what that word means. And because we're establishing something, guess who I want speaking into your life? It's not Alexa, it's not Siri, it's not Google. I want the word of God informing your worldview. And so they know. I just had Nate ask me a word that I was like, first of all, boy, where'd you hear that word? But he knew he wasn't gonna get in trouble. It's a value we have. Go ahead, ask me the word. Because I want to inform you of what that word actually means. I want to explain to you why we believe that pornography leads to death. It doesn't enhance nothing. Let me explain to you what pornographic images are. Let me explain to you what finances are. Let me explain to you how to honor God. Separate from the ways of the world. Separate from racism, from hate, from anger. I'm not going to follow that path. That's leading nowhere, violence and anger. No, I'm separating. It's presentation, separation, transformation. He said, let your minds be transformed by the renewing of God's word. Man, this is why it is so vital for you to be in God's word, not just on Sundays, church. You've got to have this as a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It's got to show you the way to walk. I need to daily be transformed by the power of God's word and by his Holy Spirit. Transform my thinking, Lord. Transform my reactions. I don't want to follow the pattern that I can follow with my spouse. I want to be transformed by your word. I want to know what it means to honor and to love and to cherish, to serve. And the fourth thing is this, demonstration. Because in light of this, if all we do is just fill our heads with what we know to do, but we don't demonstrate it, it doesn't make a difference at all. That's why Paul pivoted there with that word therefore. Fine, I've given you everything you need to know. You know about sanctification, justification, any action you could think of. You know about salvation, you know about water baptism, you know all the right things, but if you won't demonstrate it, if you won't show your brother that you love them, John said, how can you claim to love God and yet hate your brother? You are a liar. This is a crazy word today, bro. But I'm telling you, this is what God needs this church to hear. We've got to demonstrate the love of God. And Nehemiah did that. We don't have time. In fact, I'm over time. I don't even know if we're going to get to sing the Lord's Prayer at this point. I'm just going off this morning. But here it is that Nehemiah, he feared God. He rejected the pattern that was set before him, the governors. He honored people. And you could read at the end of Nehemiah chapter 5, that he, instead of taking food from people, it said that every day 150 people came to his residence and he fed them. He had dream team parties. He had celebrations. He made sure that every volunteer was appreciated. He said, I'm going to just bring these people in. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to give to them. And we don't do this because Nehemiah did it. We don't do this because Paul said to. We live this way because of Jesus. We live this way because this was the life of our Lord, our Savior. I want to read you Mark chapter 10. We're going to skip to just verse 45 back there. Jesus is talking to his disciples who are arguing over the goat, who the greatest would be. And he turns to them and says, don't you realize that people in this world, that's the pattern of this world. They argue with one another. They treat each other this way. And then he says this in verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Can I boil down the believer's pattern? This word is going to work if you're married, if you're single, if you have a job, if you don't, if you're navigating debt, if you're living debt-free. As we're fighting racism, this word is going to define your purpose. It is one word. This is the way that believers should live. This is the pattern. Here's the word. It's the word serve. You don't know what to do? Serve. You don't know what to do? You serve somebody. You love somebody. You make sure that you are demonstrating the love of God because Jesus said his mission, boiled down to one word, was not to be served, but was to serve. And every time you serve someone, you go out of your way to forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. You go out of your way to not give your spouse the silent treatment. I'm not talking from experience. I've never done that. Every time you decide, you know what, instead of me being awkwardly silent around you for the rest of the day, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to make you coffee. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to go out of my way to ask you, how are you? What do you need today? I'm going to start to change the pattern. I want to be free in my finances to serve people, so I'm not going to get strapped to debt because I was trying to serve me. This is how believers live. This is our burden. Listen, if you approach tomorrow with a servant attitude, you will change the pattern. If you approach tomorrow with a servant attitude, you will change the pattern. There's no way you can show up tomorrow with a servant attitude, with a renewed mind, and at the same time have racism or hatred or unforgiveness or greed or lust in your heart. It won't work. Try serving someone who doesn't look like you and at the same time hating them. Try recognizing, God, I want to be free in my finances to give when the opportunity comes, and at the same time, I want to get anything that I desire. You can't. You want to change the pattern. Serve. Serve. And that's why here at Blaze Church, we have the Dream Team. The Dream Team is created not because this is the only way that you serve. The Dream Team is created to start helping you create a pattern of serving so that when you get into a regular weekly rhythm of, wow, it's Sunday again. I'm going to serve someone today. I'm going to greet someone. I'm going to help park a car. I'm going to sing. I'm going to do production. I'm going to be with children. I'm going to hold a sign. When you have that at your heart, then when you have Monday through Saturday, now there's a culture there. Now there's something there that you could work with. I'm going to serve that person. Because how awkward would it be, imagine this, if you parked a car on Sunday and then you tailgated that person on Monday and you told them they were number one out your window with whatever finger you chose and then you had to park them on Sunday. How awkward would it be if you're shooting out all these articles and sharing all these posts and that person comes to church on Sunday and suddenly you're interacting with their kids. Oh, suddenly it doesn't matter that they're black because now you've got to serve their children. These are the environments that God has us in. This is the season that God has us in. And so we're going to sing together, Lord, let your kingdom come. Because the kingdom of God, the way that we want to live our lives, is going to be a changed pattern. We're going to serve. As a team, join me. Let's sing this song out together. And you're seeing on the screen right now, blazechurch.org/teams. Let's leave that up for a little bit so everyone can see that. Online family, if you're not connected to a team right now, there's opportunity for you to be. And listen to me, this is for you. This is so that you might start to change the pattern of your life, so that you might start to serve people and love people and have relationship with people intentionally. And so I want you to visit that webpage as we sign off here in a few moments. And I want you to go and I want you to look and start filling out what you want to do, how you want to serve. And my wife's going to connect with you this week. She's going to reach out and say, okay, let's get you serving. Let's make a difference. Let's build a heart and an attitude of serving. Let me pray for you this morning that God would show you the pattern that needs change in your life, and that God would cause you to be a servant. And if you don't know Jesus, you heard the gospel today. It's that you are a sinner. It's that you need saving and only Jesus can rescue you. And so I want to invite you to put your faith in him right now, wherever you're joining from. Begin praying. Begin talking. God, save me my sin. You came to save me. You came to serve me. And now, Lord, I'm presenting my life as a sacrifice to you. Join me in prayer. Lord, would you show us the patterns that need to be changed? Would you right now begin to expose the things that don't honor you? The things that are not like you, the things that we have conformed to this world, but this morning we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I'm believing that right now there are people listening, there are people joining, that they're navigating sex and relationship in a way that is contrary to your word. It's not your best for them. God, change the pattern. There are some who are just content. We've always done it this way. We just buy what we need and we pay the minimums and I'm never going to get out of this debt. No, God, change the pattern. There are people that are looking at other people today in our country. They're saying, because you're black, because you're brown, your worth is less than mine. Change the pattern. God, there's so many of us that we're just so content with convenient Christianity. And you can have me on Sunday, but don't talk to me Monday through Saturday. And you can have a percentage of my money, but don't ask me to be radically generous. God, change the pattern. Change it, Lord. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Father, we look to you today. It's in your name we pray this. Amen. Church, let's worship Jesus together with this song. Let this be your prayer this morning. Father, come have your way. Thank you for joining us this morning online. Stay with us, worship. We've got some next steps to share with you. Get in your car. Come down here at 11:30 a.m. for Live on the Lawn. I love you guys, and I'll see you in a couple hours.